coverage for today for the first class is on the Sacrament of Penance, covering a long section in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Sacrament of Penance, Sacrament of Confession. Then our second class today from the Acts of the Apostles will be on Judaism, because, as we know, it was St. Paul whose strong Jewish commitment prevented him, although he was miraculously converted, prevented him from recognizing Jesus as a promised Messiah. In any case, our first class will be then on the Sacrament of Penance or Confession. You received two handouts for today's class on the Sacrament of Penance. The first is a list of the Church's definitions on the sacrament, all drawn from the Council of Trent. As you remember, the Council of Trent was held in the 16th century as the response to the so-called Protestant Reformation. In any case, the most fundamental error of those who broke with Rome in the 16th century was their denial of the priesthood. In denying the priesthood, they denied two sacraments, which are of the essence of authentic Christianity, namely the sacrament of the Eucharist and the sacrifice of the Mass as the real presence and as the Holy Communion in which the body and blood of Christ are received. The second sacrament which they denied as a result of denying the priesthood was the sacrament of penance. And living as we are in a post-Protestant nation, having myself, as I've said more than once, taught in 6 Protestant seminaries, never on Protestantism, always on Catholicism, there is no scholar in world Protestantism today, none, who believes that historic Protestantism still exists, not one. They all hold correctly that the Protestantism that came out of existence in the 16th century is gone. They speak, therefore, of the post-Protestant era. In any case, the incalculable damage to hundreds of millions has been done in depriving so many once-believing Catholics of the benefits of the sacrament of penance or confession. I thought I'd first go through, not in detail because we just don't have the time at our disposal, but I do ask you to please, before the next class, to read carefully these definitions. Indeed, more than just read them, over the years we have been so taught ourselves as members of the Society of Jesus, and I have ever since been teaching others. There are 2 writings that a believing Catholic should regularly meditate on, and they are Sacred Scripture and the Church's defined a teacher. It is just good Catholic common sense to prayerfully meditate on the Church's definitions here on the sacrament of penance. In each case, in the two pages in front of you, what I've done was to isolate that teaching of the Council of Trent, which has been formally defined by the Church. But behind showing this with you is the importance of understanding, not merely verbally hearing and even memorizing, but understanding what does the Church believe when she professes in one canon, as it's called, after another. First then, the reason for the sacrament. Behind the sacrament of penance, or sacrament of confession, is the divinely ordained purpose of restoring the state of grace to those who have sinned mortally after baptism. In one declarative sentence, this is not just a description, but a definition of the sacrament of penance. It is that sacrament instituted by Christ to restore the seed of God's friendship to those who have lost it by grave sin. And thus, the first canon declares, if anyone says that penance is not instituted by Christ the Lord for reconciling the faithful to God, as often as he fall into sin after baptism, let him be anathema. I cannot exaggerate the importance of clarity here. When the Church was first founded, it was understandably a very holy, mystical body of Christ. Members of the Church were holy people. Some did go to confession, but the practice of confession, as we now know it, was not as frequent, as regular, as later centuries introduced. And that for the best of reasons, because the fervor of the early Christians was so strong. They sincerely believed and hoped that he would not lose God's grace in a lifetime of serving God, but watch it. And what preserved the early Christians in the state of grace was persecution. Do you hear me? Persecution. Persecution. This is 2,000 years of history. There is nothing that better assures the Church of sanctity than opposition, persecution. And that's what the Church is going through now. The numbers are dwindling, but I can assure you, the numbers of those who are faithful and remain faithful. Thank you. Who remain faithful to Christ under the cultural pressure that the church is now experiencing. The number is constantly increasing. So the sacrament of confession in the early church was received not so often, and for the best of reasons, because he did not have to be. As time went on, however, the sacrament of confession became more and more necessary as more sinners, grave sinners, became members of the church. I seldom do this, but I find it distracting for people to be talking in that other room while I'm lecturing. Second, teaching the Council of Trent. Among the errors of the so-called reformers was the claim that baptism is, in essence, really the same as the sacrament of penance, is really the same as the sacrament of baptism. And this was condemned by an anathema. Whenever you see A-S, which stands for the Latin anathema, sit, S-I-T in Latin, let him be anathema, out with him, let him be anathema. That means the teaching, contrary to the churches, doctrine is heresy. It is therefore heretical to claim that baptism and the sacrament of penance are really one and the same thing. Third, institution on Easter Sunday. We may say that Christ's whole life on earth, and especially his passion and death, were a prelude to what he did on Easter Sunday. You might say he rose from the dead on Easter Sunday. Yes, he rose from the dead physically, bodily, on Easter Sunday morning, but he provided on Easter Sunday night for the rising from spiritual death by giving his followers, as we read, if anyone says that those words of the Lord, quotes, receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained, are not to be understood of the power of forgiving and retaining sins, as the Catholic Church has always understood them from the beginning, contrary to the institution of this sacrament, let him be anathema. out with him. He is no longer a Catholic. There are not too many passages in Scripture where the Church has solemnly defined the meaning of the very words in the Bible. The words of Christ of the Last Supper, "This is my body, this is my blood," are defined. The meaning is, Christ, by pronouncing those words, changed bread and wine into his own living body and blood. And on Easter Sunday night, again, the words of Jesus, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Who sins you forgive, they are forgiven them. Who sins you do not forgive, who sins you do not forgive, they are not forgiven them." This refers to the sacrament of confession. Anyone who denies that those words refer to the sacrament of penance or confession, and it was the power which Christ conferred on his priests to absolve from sins which are confessed, that person is not a Catholic. And in some dioceses, the widespread use of general absolution is the end of the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church will survive only, no place else, only where there are still bishops and priests who believe in three things, who believe that when the words of consecration are pronounced, or the bread and wine by validly ordained priest, the bread and wine are changed into the living Jesus Christ. Secondly, where there are those who still believe, bishops, priests, and the laity, that when a priest declares, "I am absolved from your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit," when a person, having confessed their sins, is thus absolved, and both the eternal punishment and the grave guilt of mortal sins is removed, and the guilt and temporal punishment are removed according to the dispositions of the penitent, those who believe that are Catholic. Nobody else is. And thirdly, only the dioceses and parishes or the bishops and priests, and of course the laity, who still believe, well, three conditions are fulfilled, that both were baptized before marriage, or they knew what they were doing and intended to enter into a lifelong union, and their marriage even once was consummated by natural intercourse, that no power, no bishop, no conference of bishops, no pope can dissolve their marriage. Only of those dioceses and parishes where people still believe that will the Catholic Church survive. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. And that is why the Church in America is in such great danger. In so many places, I speak from a quarter century experience of working with the Holy See. Danger. Danger, I say. You don't close 42 parishes in Detroit without a reason. It's not Muslim or not money. Loss of faith. Thank you for being here. I didn't expect to finish all of this. As I mentioned before, I'll do what I can. I expect, however, to have you read and even prayerfully meditate on this church's teachings. What is required on the part of the penitent? If anyone denies that for the full and perfect remission of sins, three acts are required on the part of the penitent, namely contrition, confession, and satisfaction. Let him be anathema, but get it. Confession. Confession is required. And when in Chicago, 40 pastors, after having practiced general absolution for years in Chicago, and being told, stop it, they said, no. The Catholic Church will survive, I repeat, only when there still are those who believe that among the three essential elements on the part of the penitent is confession. I think I told you, without identifying the diocese, some years ago I wrote a paperback in which one of the chapters is on confession, in just one paragraph, in which I stated that, of course, auricular confession, auricular means the ears of the confessor must hear what the penitent orally declares, that auricular confession is of divine origin. And therefore, no human authority can change or excuse from the confession of sins. The diocesan censor of that particular happened to be archdiocese. So he said, I cannot give you the imprimatur. Correspondence followed. He wouldn't give in. I never got the imprimatur. Wait about a year. So I wrote again. And he changed his mind. So look, I've been writing this way and publishing and with censorship in Rome. The one thing is his Catholic doctrine. Who are you to question it? You're writing and you're still wrong. But because I was so persistent, all right, you get your imprimatur. I should add, later on, my book was taken out of print. It is just as well that most Catholics don't really, really know the revolution going on in the Catholic Church. Thank God. It's a revolution, and it's deep. And part of the revolution is right here. All you have to do is stick by your gun, and of course if they shoot you, you'll be in a good cause. Now the necessary contrition. If anyone says, now the contrition evoked by examination, recollection, and hatred of sins by reflecting on the grievousness, multitude, basis of his sins, but also the eternal happiness and incurring eternal damnation with a firm purpose of amendment does not prepare for grace. Now this sorrow is forced and not free. Let him be anathema. This canon, number 5, is priceless. 47 years in the priesthood, half 12 years, I keep telling people, an awful lot. One thing I found, as long as a person is still sane and of course sober, as long as a person is sane and has any faith, even a spark of faith, they're scared. Scared of the consequences of sin. I told you a few about Lee Atwater, you know, the chairman of the Republican Party that was called to Washington. He was in dying condition, and his friend Maloney asked him, "Lee, are you scared?" "You know, I'm scared. Afraid to go to hell?" "Yeah." "Well, in God's grace, I kept him out of hell." The fear of God's punishments is enough, provided it is joined to the sacrament of confession. The person who is anything but pious, anything but holy, but if the person has, I repeat, a spark of faith and is afraid of God's justice, and if the person may mumble, people have to tell him, "Would you speak a little louder so I can hear you?" And tells his sins, and his absolution is our faith. That person's sins are forgiven. In other words, with all the pious talk about loving God, and of course, with all our hearts, we are to love God. But, much more fundamental, and I can tell you this, far more universal, is the fear of God. You don't have to read John of the Cross, a truth of all that, to be afraid of God. In other words, anybody who has done wrong is scared, as deep down in our conscience, just by our very nature. In any case, it is a divine article of the Catholic faith that the fear of God, joined with the confession of our sins, gives us a restored state of grace. Then, our regular confession. Anything you can do, first of all, in your own lives, to get the confession as often as you can. And nowadays there's so many people who tell me it's not always that easy to find a confessor or a priest who is willing to hear. I don't say confessions at all, but frequent confessions. Blessed God, huge sins to confess. In any case, I keep telling people, impose on priests. I mean it, impose on them. Call to them. If necessary, have somebody bar the door so we can't get out. Definition. If anyone denies that sacrament of confession was instituted by divine law, or is necessary to salvation, or says that the manner of confessing secretly to a priest alone, which the Catholic Church has always observed from the beginning, and still observed, is at variance with the institution and command of Christ, and is a human contrivance, let him be anathema. Two things. The Protestants who started Protestantism all denied, no exceptions. They denied the indissolubility of marriage, and they denied confession of sins and absolution by a priest. In the United States, we live here, as you know, in a nation which was indeed discovered, the New World was discovered by a Catholic, by the name, incidentally, of Christopher Columbus. In 1992, if you read enough what the papers and magazines said about Christopher Columbus, you made it feel ashamed that he would ever dare invade this holy land, the land of paradise, occupied in sweet, quiet, peaceful happiness by the Aztecs and the Mohawks. Not coincidentally, two things happened at the same time, same century. The biggest single loss to the Catholic Church, all nations, through Protestantism, in Europe. And the single biggest conversion in the history of the church are the Indians to the same Catholic Church. The Aztecs alone, just one large tribe in South America, 10 million became Catholics. Whatever you can do, first of all, yourselves, get the confession as often as you can. Impose on priests, I mean it. Be as kind, and by the way, don't give them any money for hearing your confession. Don't buy them. Priests themselves, oh well, I know they need to go to confession. How are we doing over time? Can you have a watch, please? Come on, Haley. can I borrow your watch, please? Thank you. Necessity. If anyone said that the sacrament of penance is not required by divine law for the remission of sins, to confess each and all mortal sins, it should be also the secret ones, as also the circumstances that change the nature of a sin, of a mortal sin. It is not enough, as I've told so many priests in teaching them, have penance, I've sinned against chastity. Please be more specific. Was it internally or externally? And externally, was it, well, with a man or a woman? And the priest just hearing the voice to definitely ask, are you a man or a woman? It's a giveaway. And was the one with whom you sinned married or not? Are you married or not? Because fornication is not the same as adultery. And adultery and fornication are not the same as homosexuality or sodomy. And the nature of the sin is part of the divine law to identify. Because if the one with whom the sin was committed, say, either whether, say, the person confesses is married, or the one with whom the sin is committed is married, then it's adultery. And if either one is married, it is still adultery. If you don't know that they're supposed to do that, well then, God judges them only on the remnants. Well, the priests ought to know and tell the penitents. And indeed, the frequency, you don't have to be arithmetically exactly how many times, especially if it's over a long period of time, but at least an approximate number of times. All of this is part of the obligation in the sacrament of confession. And let me tell you, the revolution began, as I'm sure you all know, in 1965. This is now 1995. 30 years of a massive revolution. Theological revolution, especially in the Western world, has done incalculable damage, and I have to say this, to millions of minds. And among the damaged minds are many priests. How well I know. Themselves have not been properly educated. And the Holy Father could, thank God he said it, among the horrors of our times, says the present Holy Father, is the kind of education that so many priests have received in seminaries. Somebody had better know what the church still teaches. Now the duty. If anyone says that the confession of all sins is impossible, or that each and all the faithful of Christ of either sex are not bound thereunto, let him be anathema. Of course, we're speaking of grave sins. It is a duty. And of course, in our day, as I'm sure we all realize, in so many circles, what is a sin anymore? Just came to my attention yesterday magazine. It was the lead article is on drugs. And the scourge that's destroying America. And the subtitle, How Psychiatry Has Hooked Millions on Drugs. Millions. And it's organized. Psychiatric profession, the drug industry, and the government. And so, what is sin anymore? And instead of the kind of counsel that people do need, spiritual counsel. How well I know they are subjected to various kinds of psychological, call it treatment, as though people do not have a free will. My 5 years in teaching at Western Michigan University. As I told you, I want to do some priestly ministry while teaching at the university on the faculty. So, got myself appointed as Cathy Chaplain at the State Hospital in Kalamazoo. What an experience. And all that the more than 3,000 patients had done for them was every morning they line up to be inoculated with a drug. Speak of the duty of confessing sins, not a sin anymore. And may God forgive them, and I know them. How well I know them. The authors of a book widely used in sexual ethics, used in seminaries, in which homosexuality is said to be, well, is an orientation that some people have over which they have no voluntary control. My God! My God! Next. Absolution. These were, by the way, defined articles of the faith. if anyone says that the sacramental absolution of the priest is not a judicial act, but a mere pronouncing and declaring that the sins are forgiven, or says that the confession of the penitent is not necessary in order the priest may be able to absolve and be anathema. I think I've said maybe more than once, at least here in that argument.